So here we are this morning, and I'm excited to be going into the Word this morning, and to continuing to look at how it is that we love God. How do I love God? How do I love Him? And we started by looking at how it is that God loves us. And so here we go now, talking about the second of the three biggies and how we love God. Remember what the three biggies are? That's it. Worship, the first one. How do we love God? Worship, we talked about that last week. Trust today, and sacrifice. Very good. Thank you. You guys are with me. I'll help you with this in just a few moments. But I want to start by reading a couple of scripture verses, okay, to kind of set the table and take a look at where we're going. So let's get going here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Famous scripture verse. I probably memorized this. One of the first scripture verses that I memorized a long time ago. It goes Psalm, Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 5. If you haven't got this one memorized, you could start today, okay? It says what? Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't rely upon your own understanding. There it is again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? It really is. We'll talk about that in a moment. But to really trust, it's like trusting when you have to. It's easy to trust when you don't have to. Everything is cool. Everything is copacetic. Everything is going the way you think it ought to go. You feel like you got a handle on life. Everything's in control. Ooh, I trust. It's easy. But just let one of your ducks get quacked. I mean, cracked. I mean, out of the row that they're supposed to be in, that you're controlling and manipulating. Just let life work its course to making a mess. And then practice trusting with all of your heart. Okay? We want to talk about this morning. But let's continue setting the table. So Proverbs 3:5, there's a good memory verse for you. Let's keep going. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Here's another one that I just love so well and have thought about this and tried to practice it. Psalm 56 in verses 3 and 4. He says, when I am afraid. You see, there it is again, when I am afraid. And it's like when you're not afraid, trust is easy. But when you're afraid, and I don't have to name those things that cause us fear. We know, we're well familiar, we're well acquainted with those things that make us afraid. And so the psalmist says, when I'm confronted with those things that make me afraid, he says, I put my trust in you. What another tremendous scripture verse to memorize. That when we're confronted by those things that make us pause, that give us pause in life, to have on the tip of our tongues, I will put my trust in thee. This is what the psalmist says. He says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust without a fear. Wow. So there's something about this whole dynamic of trusting God that takes the stinger out of those things that make us afraid. Did you catch that? There's something about trusting Him that mitigates fear from our lives. Trusting God. I want that. In God, I trust without a fear, without being afraid. And this kind of goes along with the next scripture verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12. Tremendous passage of scripture. And I have practiced this. I have memorized this verse in different situations that I have found myself in. I have practiced this verse of scripture. He says in verse verse 2, he says, "Behold, God is my salvation." And then he says, "I will trust." Now, I want you to catch this. Because it's a matter of saying in your mind, it's a matter of agreeing in your will. A choice is going to be made. I'm not going to side with how I feel afraid. I will trust. And he says, what? Isaiah says, "I will trust and will not be afraid." I will trust and not be afraid. Why? The Lord is my salvation. He is helping me in this. "For the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Powerful scripture verse. And then, I want to take you to New Testament, and I'm reading more scriptures than usual, but really need to set this table. Think of it as Thanksgiving. What good would just turkey be on the table? Right? And so 2 Corinthians. I want to read there for a moment. 2 Corinthians. And I'm not going to be commenting on all of these scriptures as we work our way through this morning, speaking about how do I love God? Trust. Trust Him. But I want you to feel and to just be open to these passages of scripture and how they impact what we're going to be speaking about along the lines of trust. 2 Corinthians, you'll have to forgive me, I'm using a Bible that I have used for a long time. I stopped using it for a few years, and I decided for 2014 to go back to it. If it holds up, I don't know. So I'm a little uncomfortable just getting used to this old thing again, but I want to get back into this Bible, the RSV, for 2014. So forgive me if I'm kind of stuttering along here. Oh, here it is, chapter 4. And he says in verse 16, he says, "So we do not lose heart." It's another way of saying, so we don't become afraid. You know, when you lose heart, what have you become? Fearful. You become fearful. He says, "We don't lose heart." He says, "Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." Life has a way of dishing it out to us. And he says, for those of us who are Christians, walking with Christ, who understand his salvation and the purpose of God, the destiny that God has written into our lives, when it dishes it out to us, life, God uses those things to work something inside of us. That's what he's saying. He is working something in my life, which is worth, Peter says, more than gold, which is perishing. Trying of your faith. What he does inside of us. Worth more. Whatever MasterCard can buy, this tops it. This tops it. Whatever it is that the lottery number goes up to, this tops it by far. What he does inside your life and mine. Peter says, more precious than gold. More precious than gold. And so he says here, he says, "For this slight momentary affliction," wait a minute. Now, I've been in situations where I've been made to feel afraid. And I wouldn't call it a slight momentary affliction. Right? Now, I'm like, what the heck is this? And how long, Lord, is it going to take? And he's wanting us to see something here. He says, slight momentary affliction. Why? This is why. He says, because it's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond in comparison. In other words, what we're going through pales in comparison to the eternal thing that God is using those things in our lives to produce, to create, and it will carry us into heaven. It starts now, though. Now, this isn't easy to grasp. This isn't easy to get a handle on. But certainly, this is who we are. This is what we're all about. So, it's possible. He says, because we look not at the things that are seen, we're not looking at those things that cause us to fear. Are you with me this morning? We're not looking. Now, it's hard not to see them when they're breathing down our necks. But he says, there's something else that we're looking at. We're looking at things that are unseen, things that are for the things that are temporary. We're not looking at those things, but we're looking at the things that are eternal. We are concentrating, we're fixing our sights, we're focusing on the eternal value that God is working in our lives. Wow. And so he says, we don't become afraid. Okay, last passage. All right. Really, I'm not going to comment on them all. We're just going to look at these and then we'll get into this. 2 Kings. You know why I'm laughing, right? 2 Kings. And it's right after 1 Kings. It's in the Old Testament. It's the middle of all the 1st and 2nds there. But 2 Kings, there's a marvelous story here in 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings 6, in case you didn't get it, Dolores. Okay, and in this story, we have Elisha the prophet. And Elisha the prophet, of course, is working for God on behalf of God's people. And the enemy doesn't like it. Happens to be Syria at this time, the Syrian army. They don't like it. Because Israel is winning and having the upper hand, not because of the troops on the ground, but because of the prophet on his knees. And what he is hearing from God and communicating back to the armies of Israel. And they're winning. Israel is maintaining an upper hand. It's an incredible story. Now, the Syrian army says, being smart, you know, they want to win. So they come up with this strategy. Okay, what do we do? Well, it's obvious what we do. Get Elisha. Let's put him down. And so they muster their whole army to go after this one man, Elisha. And so they go after him. And they meet up with him, the whole army. And they're coming against him, one man, an entire army. And they want blood. They want this guy. Elisha sees what's going on, and he sees more than what's going on. But his assistant starts to shake in his boots. He sees these guys, because it's like if Elijah goes, I'm going to. And it says, look at verse 15. He says, when the servant of the man of God, or his assistant, rose early in the morning, went out and behold the army and horses, chariots all around. And the servant said, now this is exclamation point stuff. He says, wow. He says, Elijah, what shall we do? What do we do? And Elisha says to him, look at the first words that he says to him. He says what? Don't be afraid. And it's like, Elisha, if you know something that I don't do, please come through right now. Elijah says, no problem, I will. And then he says, Elisha prays. And he prays for his assistant. And this is how he prays. He says, open his eyes to see open his eyes to see what he is not able to see in the natural. Open his eyes to see above and beyond what he just now sees in this army that's threatening, attacking, coming for vengeance, coming for blood. Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord does. And he opens this guy's eyes, and he's looking, and it's like he sees the army, the Syrian army. No way on God's green earth is it possible for them to overcome. But then he sees. Lord opens his eyes, and he sees into the eternal, into the unseen realm. And what does he see? He sees an army protecting them more vast than the Syrian army. More vast. And God protects them. God keeps them. Fear not. Because he says, why? He says, those who are with us, what a verse to memorize. Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with those guys. Wow. Come on. Come on. All right. Lord Jesus, bless this word to our hearts and glorify your name, Lord. So our focus is now on the first and greatest commandment. In the first and greatest commandment from Mark chapter 12 is what? Jesus said, and you shall what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The first and greatest commandment. This is our focus. This is what we've been talking about. And we're asking the question, as I've already said, in particular, how do I love God? How do I love Him? Now, we have to understand, as we've been reading from 1 John, and we've been taking that as our springboard passage, our launching, the launching pad for this series, 1 John 4, 7 through 12. He says there that we are able to love God because he first loved us. Now that's important. Why is that important in this whole thing? It's because this whole thing of loving God, how do I love God? It's there. It's there. That in that I have been born again, in that God who is love has touched my life, has come into my life, the love is there for me to obey the first commandment. It's there. I can now love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can do it. And more than just, I can do it, I want to. I want to. I want to love God. This is how a person knows that they're born of God. If God is love, and you have been born again by Him, you want to love God. You want to. Now, as we have said, it isn't that we don't have to work at it. Remember those three things that work against our love. But there are things that try to dampen our love for Him. We talked about that. And then we said there are three biggies. There are three biggies. Worship, trust, and sacrifice. The three biggies. Worship. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to talk about it again because it'd be just covering old ground. You need to get it. I think it's wise to say that we love God when we worship Him with an undivided heart. With an undivided heart. When I love Him like I love no one else or nothing else, I worship God. We love God when we worship Him by the way we live. How I act. Worship is a lifestyle. How I live. How I interact with other people. How I am around the house. How I am when I vacuum the carpet, when I clean the car. For some of you, when you change dirty diapers, man, I hated dirty. I can count on two fingers how many dirty diapers I change, and I'm proud of it. But I did other things. My worship needed work in that area. I'm sorry. But we love God when we worship Him in church. When we lift our voices, and we're encouraged to lift our hands, and we engage, and we participate in that flow of the Holy Spirit. We let our voices be heard. When we engage emotionally in worship with God, We're loving, we're expressing love to him. Trust.
Trust is a big one. Trusting God is big. Really big.
And so we want to say this morning that we love God. We love God when we trust him. When we trust him. And like I said, it's easy until you have to. It's easy until you have to. How scary is it with John and Holly right now? Put yourself in their shoes. With your little girl, your little boy. How scary it is. And so they have to trust God right now. They have to trust God right now. And I know them and I have seen them and they are trusting God right now. They have to. And they're trusting him. We love God when we trust him. So trusting God is big. And here's the first thing about this whole thing. Or not the first thing, but this is the foundation under which my own trust of God sits. He is trustworthy. He can be trusted. He has an impeccable track record of working and of being faithful to his word. He is true to his word. There are things I don't understand. There are things about God I just don't get. There are things that I think God is involved in, or there are things that I think God ought to be involved in, and it just looks like, where is he? What's going on? I don't understand. But I know his track record is he's true to his word. He's faithful. He is trustworthy. I can trust him. I can rely on him. Now, how do I trust God? How do I trust him? Now, so many more things can be said about that. And I know I'm creating perhaps a lot of questions when I say he is trustworthy. Or what about these things? Some of them will be answered in some of the things we want to proceed with, but some will not be. It's discussion for another time, perhaps, but nevertheless, how do I love God? Because that's our focus. How do I trust God? How do I love him by trusting him? How? First of all, let me say, none of the things we're about to mention are automatic. Okay, automatic. So yeah, okay. And I think this is like all things when it comes to walking with the Lord. The turkey's in my way. I can't see Chris. Let me just move the turkey. Here we go. Isn't he a nice-looking fella? Nice. I never have qualms about saving the turkey for Christmas Day. Kill that sucker and let's eat him. Anyways, the presidential pardon, we don't win. Let's kill him. Anyways, I love turkey. But that... there is a struggle. You know, it's not like all things in the Christian life. It's not, well, here you go. Do step number one, step number two, step number three, and you got it. You know? Five easy steps to having a happily ever after marriage. Man, if you could write that kind of book and it really be so, you will be rich. Beyond comparison. There just isn't such a thing. There just isn't. How to have a successful Christian life in five easy steps. Buyer beware. Because there just aren't five easy steps. There just aren't. And the same with this whole area. These three biggies. How I love God. Especially in this area that we're dealing with this morning of trusting God. It just isn't easy. It's a struggle at times. It's a struggle. We have doubts. We wrestle with coming through to trust. We hurt. There's pain. And there's Job. And it's interesting, but when you read Job, through the book of Job, though you say, boy, you know, the struggle that he went through, and it's all there, the struggle, the doubt,
He didn't curse God, but boy, did he ever come close. And you say, what was it about this guy that he came through in the end? What was it? It was because he kept everything in the context of his relationship with God. Though he doubted, though he hurt, though he let it be known to everybody that he was hurt and he wanted to do business with God. He said, if I can do business with God, I'll straighten this whole mess out because he went wrong someplace. That's what Job said. And God didn't come and pull the plug on Job. God came and did just the opposite. He vindicated Job to his friends and said, Job has spoken of me what is right. And in Job chapter, my point is just to make this comment from Job chapter 13 and verse 15, where he says, you know it, you know it, you know it. Though he what? Though he what? Though he
slay me, yet I'll trust him.
Wow. You know, I just say that because I want you to feel, I want you to realize, this isn't automatic. Nobody gets to the place. No one. You know, how's my halo? You know, no one gets to that kind of place and it's like, oh man, it's so easy now to trust God. Because I'm so, you know, I'm there, I got a relationship with, I will walk with the Lord. No one does. No one. There's always a struggle coming through to trust. That's how you know you're growing. So that I just want you to realize those couple of things about him being trustworthy and how we engage in a struggle. Nevertheless, how do I trust him? What gets us through the struggle? Let me just, a couple of things. You with me? Come on, stay with me. Take another sip of coffee, something, somebody. Here it is. I trust him. I trust. Let me put it this. I trust that he knows best. So how do I get through it? That I have this settledness within me. Having come to know him the way that I know him. In meeting him in his word as I have come to meet him in his word. And having his spirit at work in my life. In life. When I face life, I've come to know he knows best. He just knows best. Have you ever said to yourself, man, I just wish I would have listened? You ever have one of those moments? I've had several. Boy, I just wish I would have listened. I knew better. I knew that. Well, this is where we have to come to with God. He knows best. Now, have you ever been to the end of your rope? You know that place. You know, you've done all you can do. You ever been there? You've done all you can do. You've handled it. You've worked it from every angle. Trying to get a handle on it. Make it work. You're at the end of your rope type of thing. And when you're at the end of your rope, say, oh, God, speak to me, God. God, help me. You see, God, I've done all that I know how to do. It's out of control, this whole thing. God, what do I do? And he says, let go. And it's like, you got a death grip on it. You're white knuckling that rope, man. You're there. And then God comes and he says, just where I want you. Trust me. Release. You know, tap, you know, the tap, you know, from sport, you know, when you're wrestling. Didn't they used to do that? Wasn't there the tap, right, in sport, you know, tap? It means what? Release. Release. And God is there, you know. Let go. See, he knows best. He knows best. He knows best. Which leads us into the second one, which is, I trust when I don't understand. This is big. This is big for me. This is big for all of us. I just want to know. Curious minds what? Need to know. Curious minds need to know.
I love the Curious George books. Curious George was a monkey. He was a curious monkey. Yeah, right? Trent watches Curious George. And there's just this thing about not knowing that bugs the heck out of us. It just does. It's like if I can just know, well, I'll be somewhat okay. But it's just not knowing. And this whole thing of trust is trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. To trust Him. See, I'm loving Him. When I'm able to trust Him, when I don't understand, that's saying something about my image, my impression, my relationship with God. What's it saying? This is what it's saying. It's saying, and I quote, "If God were small enough to be understood, He wouldn't be big enough to be worshipped." Listen, He's God, and I'm not. And there are going to be things. There's going to be things in my life. There's going to be things in your life. There's going to be things in life. You just don't get it. You just don't. There are those things that are just going to be hidden, if you will, from us. And what's required of us is to say, "Lord, I don't get it. You're God. I worship You. I love You. I'll trust You on this one, God. I'll trust You on this. I'll trust You on this." Because, as it says, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Listen, doesn't it make sense, He being God? It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And what is the expanse? What is the measurement of the heavens being higher than the earth? It cannot be calculated. He says, so are My ways and My thoughts than yours. Well, wouldn't you expect that of God? He'd be unworthy of the title if it weren't so. So then doesn't it stand to reason when there are things that I don't understand and I say, God, I put my trust in You, that I don't need to understand that He's got it? That I can trust in His understanding of the situation, even though I, at the moment, don't know what it is. And by doing that, what I'm saying is, God, with all this heart, no, what I'm doing is, with all this mind. Ah, there it is, you see? Love the Lord your God with all your what? Mind. So, Lord, I don't understand, but with this mind, I'm trusting You, and you love Him when we do it. Wow. We love Him when we do it. I like what Keller says here. He says, if the story of Joseph in the whole of the Bible is true, you talk about not understanding what God is up to. Joseph, huh? God says to Joseph, "You're going up, boy," and where'd he go? Took a dive. He says, if the story of Joseph and the whole of the Bible is true, then, if it's true, he says then, what? Listen, he says then, anything that comes into your life is something that, as painful as it is, you need in some way. And anything you pray for, that does not come from Him, even if you are sure you cannot live without it, you don't really need it. I don't get it. I don't understand. But I'm trusting You. The last one. To trust God means that I have to work at adjusting my perspective. Oh, Lord, open my eyes to see what I just now don't see. And it has to be worked at. It has to be wrestled with.
Man, I'm not seeing something right. I'm not getting it right. That's right, you're not. You're not. That doesn't mean that there isn't understanding to be gotten. It just means that you're looking in the wrong place. We look at what's seen, and he says, you've got to look into what's unseen. You're looking out here, and God's trying to do something in here. How we minimize what he's doing in here in our lives. We're so frazzled by all these things around us, and we think that if everything were only, we live our lives, we pad our lives in such a way, only hoping that everything will go okay. And if everything goes okay, I'll be okay. Wrong. Flat wrong. As in, wrong. Flat. Dead wrong. No. Because he's after doing something in our lives. And this is how he does it. To adjust. We have to see what good God can bring about. Just like this assistant of Elisha's. He didn't see. He just didn't see it. Elisha prayed, oh God, open his eyes. We have to, God, adjust my perspective. God, open my eyes that I'm able to see. Yes. That I'm able to see in this situation. That I'm able to see. And to whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Open my eyes, God, to see what I'm not seeing so that I don't fear, but I trust. That I trust. And I know for me, as it is for you, it's a difficult thing. But what a relief it is that it doesn't depend upon me to make it work. To get it all figured out. It doesn't rely upon having all my ducks in a row. It doesn't. And what we see is he's in control of our lives. And what tremendous peace that can bring to us. Trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you trust God?
My best.
And there's no shame. We don't create a bad image for ourselves when we're struggling to trust God. Mm-mm. When does the fighter lose? When he gives up. Mm-hmm. When he gives up. As a kid, I took many a beating. I was stupid. I fought guys that were stronger and bigger than me. I don't know what it was about that in my life. Rick Mergenthaler. I just wanted to beat him up. But boy, did I take a pounding from him. And the stupidest thing about it all, and my friends, oh, stop. Stop fighting, blood coming out, whatever, all this stuff, and it's like, no way am I stopping. You know? Hopefully everything's okay on that one. And in our trust of God, there's no shame in getting bloody. Stay in the fight. The fight is, that is to say, where I'm going to trust him even though I'm facing this. I'm going to trust him though I don't understand this. I'm going to trust him believing that he knows what's best. And what you're doing when you do, listen to me. What you're doing when you do that, you are saying by your life, by the way in which you're living, God, I love you. I love you. That's what's happening in your life. You're expressing love to him. You're obeying the first commandment. And it doesn't get any better than that. Let's stand together. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Sure you are. Let's pray. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you, to this word. Lord, you know my heart. These things come from the struggles of my own life in trusting you. How I have failed. Just withdrawn into my own cocoon. Become quiet, withdrawn, doubting, fearful. And yet, God, you help me to struggle through. And I want to thank you for that grace. And I pray for that measure of grace upon each of us in this room. That, Lord, we might love you with all of our heart. And even as the writer of Proverbs says to us this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That we might do that and love you. More and more, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.